Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Ray.
I'm Alex Reed.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of...
No Sleepers.
Guys, obviously welcome back. We have
obviously welcome back.
Because we know you're here.
We know.
We have an incredible guest today, somebody that we have been a fan of since we have heard of her and her amazing book.
Our absolute fave, though. Honestly, it's actually been like.
Okay. Yesterday I asked on Twitter, I was like, what are you guys reading? And then someone was like, Children of Blood and Bone. And I was like, love.
Have you heard our episode on it? Plug back.
I just, like, one word, love. I love it. So yeah, we have Tommy Adeyemi, horns, bum bum bum. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah? I'm happy to be back in London.
Oh, we're happy to have you.
What's everything been like? How's everything been like the past year for you?
Oh God. Well, it's funny because I did this and I always joke about doing this, but my sense of time is so scrambled that I've written key dates on my wrist, because even literally in the car here when I was talking to the, you know, the publicist from the publisher here, I was like, I was doing like math equations to figure out concrete dates. And I was like, how many months are in a year? Today is March. It's May. No, it's not May. So it's all scrambled, but I find my sense of memories are tied to places and experiences UK especially. I had so many of like the reader experiences that stick with me or like the people I still talk to either on Instagram or things like that.
Yeah.
And even just getting here, both times the Border Patrol agent made me cry because I think it's partly like an American sappy thing, but like you hear a British accent and you're like, Hogwarts. And then like the UK patrol agent, Hogwarts? they're like, oh, what are you here for? And you're like, oh, like I'm an author. They're like, you're an author, good on you. And you're like, oh, well, thank you. Good on me is right. Thank you. So they just make you feel very proud of yourself.
Oh man.
Reminds me when I got held back in Texas when they just didn't
let you through.
They didn't let me through.
Oh man.
They held me back.
Yeah, see, it's only the UK Border Patrol agents that I like have a very memorable, heartwarming.
We're good on that end, I think.
We're
not too bad.
We're not too bad.
how has it been like in terms of, God, is it a year now? Since publication of Children of Blood and Bone?
I realized that, I guess, is it Monument, or I don't know what the word is. But like there'll be things where I'm like, oh my God, it's been on the like bestsellers list for a year. And I'm like, cool. But you can realize things and they don't click.
Yeah.
And so I was even in the car and I was like, oh my God, it's been a year. And it's because all of it is I have a strange relationship with it because I've lived with it so much longer.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. It's like, I don't even know what version of the book is out still.
Oh man.
Because it's just been for me it's like one continuous hodgepodge. So being like, oh, it's been out a year.
Yeah.
Or hearing people like, oh, I read it a year ago, and I'm like, how? What is a year? What is the concept of time? Yeah. Did I write this book?
It's just been flowing.
So it's just
Okay. So your book's been It's on the World Book Night list.
Yeah.
And so how do you feel about that? How do you feel about all the recognition that the book has been getting now?
Yeah, I would say the most meaningful things are when you know it's getting to people who wouldn't otherwise have it, and kind of the people you wrote it for.
Yeah.
Especially for me, like, I was always a book nerd, but I maybe around, I don't know what you call it here, but around middle school, so 6, maybe 13 years old, is when it went from being the way our education was set up, or at least the way my education was set up, like, you're kind of rewarded for being a book nerd, and you get the summer, like, reading challenges, and it's like, read 50 books, and you can get 5 airheads, and you're like, oh my god, currency, and reading is power. So it's like all these things. You have the Scholastic Book Fair, and then you kind of get like to 13, 14, and suddenly reading is not this fun thing anymore. It's like, you have to read A Tale of Two Cities, and now you have to write about it, and you're not allowed to write about how much you hated it, and you're like, so
I did that. So I had A Tale of Two Cities, and I wrote about how much I hated it, and then my teacher gave it back and was like, are you being serious? And I was like, oh, yeah, ask me for a review.
That's the thing. And like, that's what I wish I could tell. Because again, and I'm not even going to say I don't like this book, because I just don't think as a 13-year-old, there's so much I read at that age that I was like, this is trash.
Yeah.
And I've read like 2% of it as an adult and been like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to say like, this is a trash book, but it's just like, it's the whole thing. I think people place way too much importance on like, this is a classic, and this is this, and this is reading, and this is, and you're like, and you're like, ugh. And it's like, it actually doesn't matter. It's like, if you are reading a comic book, or you are reading like Ralph Waldo Emerson, like, it actually doesn't matter at that age. It's like, as long as you're reading, and we, and it switches from that, like, as long as you're reading, I'm happy, to like, there are 10 books in the world, and if you don't like them, then you're trash and you're a stupid person. And I was like, okay, I'm trash and a stupid person. And so that was my belief of like, or not like fully that, but I just thought I hated reading and writing, even though that's what I loved most. So with things, especially like World Book, like, is just getting it to, and I don't even know if we're there, it's just getting it to people who just wouldn't have these. I just want people to have a great adventure. And like, you can get that when you get the right book in someone's hands.
We all, like, I think we were thinking about, in terms of when you were reading as a kid in America, we here have that idea of, you know, reading the 1%, and the fact that only 1% of characters in children's books are Black or any other ethnic minority. Was that the case in sort of reading in America for young children's books as well? Or do you did you see yourself?
I would say it's almost still the case today. And the reason I say almost is because a lot of the people who grew up not seeing themselves are now writing books for people to see themselves. So if you look at it, or you even look at the best, you know, there's whenever the, there's like, oh, look at all the woman of color on the bestsellers list, or look at all this. Like, we have these moments, and it makes, it gives the illusion that we fixed it, or that it's now the majority. But if you go, if you did a pie chart, it's you know, whenever we have all these things, or I think it's because we have these big commercial successes that are diverse. So you have, like, I don't know if any book has ever, The Hate U Give has basically been number one for 2 years. I don't know if anything in the history has ever done that. And you see that, and you feel hope, but then you get the diversity in children's literature census at the end of the year, and it's still like, we're not even at 5%, you know. And I think the best thing was, I saw an actual illustration, and it was like, and it just drew like, okay, here's a white kid, and here's how many white kids you see, and then it's like, here's a Black kid, maybe there's like 2 Black kids, so like, here's an animal, because there's a lot more animals of that talk than there are, like, you know. And you keep going, and you see the erasure, and that it's a, it's, again, it's still, I would say, the global scale is erasure. So, on one hand, it's like, we're making all this great progress. On the other hand, we can't get complacent.
Because there's so much more.
Yeah, there's so much more. And even for me, the intensity of, like, the things I do, or even sometimes I'll do things that compromise my world building. But it's like, I'm, okay, I always say this, I'm a huge nerd. But then there's, like, the nerd nerds that were like, well, in page 6, you established, like, I know a fan is gonna fight with me one day, and I'll be like, yo, you can fight me, because it was more important for me that this person see themselves than my world building be 100% clean. Because I know me not seeing myself meant I spent 10 years writing stories with the main characters who were the people I wanted to be, but they were white or biracial.
Yeah.
And like I erased myself from my own imagination and like really realizing
that. Yeah.
And having to know that I'm still fighting against that is like, okay, I'm going to fight to make as many people as, or as many kids as possible not go through that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what were some of your favorite books then growing up, and what kind of inspired you with, to get into YA itself then? Because, you know, like everybody looks at YA as a very particular genre. It's like, oh, well, you don't really want
to
touch a YA.
To be honest, I haven't read
like,
YA.
You know what?
Because
I was watching Friends from College. And like, you know what?
Friends from College is like the ultimate parody.
There we go, because he was like, oh, he's a literary writer. And then they're like, well, you got to write YA. And he's like, the werewolves and the vampires. That's a very cynical way to look at YA.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, what do you think? Like, where?
I think it's just like people are so into themselves and like they want to feel. I just see so many people rip on YA. And I think there's a small percentage that comes from misunderstanding, but the other percentage that's like, well, the title means young adult.
Mm.
And I am an adult. I do not. And I was like, you know, comic books are young adult, right?
Yeah.
I was like, what are the billion-dollar franchises?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Young adults. Star Wars is not an adult. They're literally fighting in space with lasers.
Yep.
It's like
everyone's looking for the deeper meaning.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
the thing is, what I realized too, because even in my own writing process, like having the book be moved to December, it's like, okay, I can take a space to breathe and like really look at it. And I'm looking at all these great stories and I'm like, all of the world's favorite stories are young adult stories, and they're simple stories, but when they're simple you can make them complex. Mm-hmm. If it's complex, there's not much you can do, but it's like the simple things that everyone can connect to, and then you can talk about love and you can talk about acceptance, you can talk about finding yourself, you can talk about legacy, but it's with a simple story. So whenever someone is like, I'm like, literally show me, is The Great Gatsby a billion-dollar industry? Is there a theme park? And I'm not ripping on it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying we have these global franchises and they are all young adult properties. So if you have seen a Marvel movie, if you have seen Star Wars, if you have seen Harry Potter, then you like young adult stories.
Yeah.
And there's no point in I actually enjoy how Friends from College parodies it because it is really funny to watch, especially the stuff they do for like writer's block and stuff. But first I was like, am I mad at this? I was like, no, I'm not mad. It's pretty funny. But I think it's like, it's when people take themselves so seriously that they're like, no, I'm going to write an article in The Atlantic about how young adult genre is used. And it's just like, dude, like go on Netflix or something.
There's so much more
you can do than like rip on something that you clearly like and has made a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think that like with YA authors, I guess, even have a bigger responsibility because it's technically what I like to call moral building.
That's very true.
When you have Harry Potter, the idea behind all of that is basically at the core is friendship. You know, so you're growing up on these things that you have to come to terms with as a child and as a young adult.
All that stuff.
It's all about moral building in young people. And I think that is such a bigger responsibility than, I mean, I love adult fiction, but it's almost a cop out.
Well, it's a real, I think on two levels, it's like, because on one hand, it's like, you know that this is a story that can be in someone's heart for the rest of, like the fact that I hear a British accent, I'm like, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You know, like this, the whole history of the UK does not have to do with Harry, but like that was embedded in my heart and it is a core of my being and I'm going to carry that for the rest of my life. Mm. So, you know, there's that. And on the entertainment value too, you also know that you can't, like when someone's like, oh, just wait 150 pages and it gets going. Like, you know, you have about a paragraph, if that, because there is Instagram and there's Snapchat and there's Netflix and there's YouTube. So no one's about to sit around for 100, not at least someone in the target age range is not going to sit around for 150 pages
for it to get
good.
Yeah.
So I think that that's also what I find too, because I'll pick up an adult book. And I'll be like, I'm sorry, I thought this first page was trash. And I know that is intense. So I read the first chapter and I thought that was trash. And what kind of time do I have to sit through trash and wait for it to get good?
I'm going
to
controversial about this.
I always say it.
About the Toni Morrison books, there's a hill you have to get over before you get to the crux. Before you get to the valley.
I do agree.
You've got to climb up that mountain.
You have to go through it. You have to push
250 pages. And then you've got like 100 pages of just like an intense
story. Incredible.
And then a devastating ending. And you're like, okay.
So I did the climb.
And that's what it's like with a lot of literary adult books and the like. So we've got a question from our executive producer, Kira, so she couldn't be here today. So she's kind of like devastated about that. But she wanted to ask, this is her question in its entirety. So. many people, including us, are inspired by your story and the fact that you're presenting us with a different idea of who the author can be, which is incredible. We think it's important to see characters, but also people who are part of the publishing industry who look like you. That includes authors, publishers, and booksellers. Mm-hmm. What's the one piece of advice you would give to aspiring young writers or people who want to be a part of the publishing industry, especially those who come from similar backgrounds to yours and ours?
I think that's a great question. Yeah. And I would say, instead of like being like, here's my advice, I'll just say, here's my method. Mm-hmm. Is you, like I said, there's only a couple of us. There's like maybe there used to be like maybe on 10 fingers. And now I was like, maybe there's 20. Mm-hmm. You know, there's more. It's like it's slowly, so we're slowly growing. But I say, latch on to that person that you connect with. I think, and I would hope at this point, we have enough marginalized authors or like authors from marginalized backgrounds who have either had great or like good commercial success or good like literary in like in terms of like prizes and things like that. Like latch on to that person and gently stalk them. And I say gently because it's like just find out what they did to get there. And for me, it was Saba Tahir and Angie Thomas. You know, Angie was the one who made me feel like, oh, I can do this the way I want to, because I was like, that girl looks like me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That girl is writing about the things I want to write about. That girl is getting that money.
She's killing it.
And I was like, that's what I want. And now I know it's possible. It was never possible before her. Oh, but as soon as she said it was possible, like with, and that's what she did with her book deal, was I was like, cool, now it's possible for me to do it. And that's literally like we talk about, like, okay, everyone can push open the door a little bit wider. Mm-hmm. But for me, she just flew it open. So it's like, now I can go at my dreams with like as much gusto as I want, because it's the impossible is now concrete and possible. So it's not about looking back and be like, okay, well, how many of those big book deals are a year? How many people are in at their advance? How many? The percentages are still abysmal, as they would be in anything. And that's not just from even a diverse background. I'm just talking about in general. Let's say you had all the things. It's still really hard to publish a book, but you don't focus on that.
Yeah.
You say, look at this person. They're doing it that way. That means I can do it too. Yeah. The other person for me was Saba Tahir. I read An Ember in the Ashes, and that made me want to write Children of Blood and Bone.
Yeah.
I didn't have the idea yet, but it was just like something so beautiful. So, and like I was going to say, if you need a follow-up, I have some follow-ups. But like that level of epicness and scale, and I was like, I had never experienced a story like that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, let me look at the author. I was like, oh my God, this is, you know, like, let's look. I was like, oh, why do I love this brown fantasy? There's a brown author behind, you know, and like, let me get into her story. How did she get this deal? Oh, how did she sell the movie? You know, like really go
all
in and there's so much information. There's podcasts like these, there's interviews, there's blogs, there's Instagram. You know, it's like, it's very easy to gently stalk someone. And so you just do that.
Gently.
I say gently, especially with the show You Out, because it's like, gently stalk means all I want to do is Ravenclaw your success.
See,
yes.
You know? Ravenclaw your success. Just really look at that and like let that be a virtue. And then on the non side, it's just like, then just write and get really good at it and really study it. Something I'm like loving right now is YouTube analysis of things, and they break down like these things. I was like, this, I could put together probably a whole curriculum that is just YouTube videos. And like, these are things that I watch and I listen to because they make me better writers.
Just inspire ideas, don't they?
Yeah. I was doing that this morning. Like, literally, I was like, oh, what are you going to do? And I was like, okay, this calms me down and it helps me learn. And so it's just like, they're just get really, I don't want to swear, but get effing good at it.
Yeah.
I know it's like whispering to the podcast listener and they can't
fine.
See. Because I've always been like, my whole existence is like swearing, be like, I didn't swear. I didn't just swear.
Yeah.
You heard, what you heard was your own sin. So it was like, but it's like really like study people who are doing it, learn about it, especially because it's a business too.
Yeah.
And you need to be successful, you have to educate yourself on the business aspect. And I think the easiest way to do that is to be like, okay, well, how did you get this deal? Let's pull back.
Yeah.
But then just get really good at what you do, because the combination of those two things, and no one can stop you.
Yeah.
All right. So
I do think it's important that we speak about Children of Blood and Bone.
Okay.
Because we've
for the film.
And the film.
That's what I'm like, because
Ray and I, we've had these conversations, like we've had these big conversations. We bring it up nearly every other podcast episode, something like
that. It's literally the best.
Like, so like, so what tribe are you from again? Where are you at?
You're a burner, right?
Burner. What was I again?
You're Inan.
Yeah.
Connector.
The connector, yeah. The people, yeah. So what did you, what was you, what, where would you place yourself?
Oh, you're a Reaper.
So I am a Reaper. And like something I'm real, like I was like, I could just say, oh, it's Children of Blood based off. I could say my life just because Daily is just fantasy me.
Yeah.
But I think that would confuse and scare people. So, but yeah, when I was just like, I made the whole quiz and then I was like, oh, now I'm going to take.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And I was like, of course you're a Reaper. It's like, you know. But I didn't do it to become a Reaper, but I was like, okay, that makes sense.
It makes sense.
I read the book and I was like, so I feel like I'm a connector, but then you did the put the test out and I was like, okay, so let me take it just in case I'm just like a grounder or something else.
We didn't get much info on the burner, so I didn't know. I was like, I have no idea what
I know.
Let me just go into it.
Yeah. So how do you, but how do you feel about the film and all that stuff coming out?
And it's funny because if you'd asked me this like 2 weeks ago or before the book had moved, people were like, how do you feel about the film? I was like, ask me on April 7th because April 6th is my deadline and I don't have feelings till April 7th. Now I'm like, okay, it's just, I think it's just the potential is so exciting for me. The potential for what it can be and what it can do. And especially, I'm not looking at it like book one. I was like, no, let's do the whole franchise. For me,
the long game.
The image I have in my head, or like, there was this really big, I think it was like Entertainment Weekly, but like the Crimes of Grindelwald, like the whole cast, and it was like 48 people or something. And I was just like, how amazing would that look for book two? You know, like me, I have this big cast in my head.
Black.
You know, I was just like, see all ranges and shades and sizes and features. Colors, and I was just like, how epic would that be? And even with like, I guess that's just the excitement is realized. And something I've realized too about art is like the best art is a fusion of all these different types of, you know, like it's called makeup artist. It's called costume designer. It's called, you know, like all of these things are someone's passion and it their passion comes through in one very specific lens.
Yeah.
And so in a movie, what you're doing is you're putting all these passions together. And obviously sometimes, not sometimes, most times the foundation is weak and people aren't entirely passionate about, like, I don't want to throw something on it, but maybe like Sharknado 5. You know, maybe that is someone's passion. And then, you know what? You can message me and be like, actually, bitch, that's my passion. And like, and good. Because it's like, I want people to do their passions. But it's like, you can feel... For example, like, I would say when you look at the Black Panther, or I don't know who else, like, story nerds do this, but, like, looking at how the costume designer, like, breaks down her inspirations, or Ryan Coogler breaks down a fight scene, and you just see all this stuff, and you see, or the soundtrack, you just see all these, the peak of people's passions weaving together to create something beautiful, and I know it's, like, there's so much opportunity. For that, to, from the hair to the makeup to the body makeup to
the slave, like the Colosseum fight scene.
Yeah,
I see that in my head.
There's
I'm like,
just so much. And I'm so like, and I'm like, okay, no, what? It can't be. We don't want this. I was like, why doesn't this work? And I was like, oh, it's too perfectly CGI'd. We need gritty, like this random tornado video I like. You know, so it's very exciting from both an art perspective and then a world perspective. Because a friend asked me a couple years ago, like, what do you think the world would be like if Harry Potter had been black? And I was like, holy,
Wow.
You know, because it was a Black Mirror episode for me because I was like, okay, well, then the boy who lived and the boy the world loved is this little Black boy. Yeah. So then do we
one's getting shot.
Well, that's my thing. Yeah. It's just like, does Tamir Rice get shot in a world where Harry Potter was Black? And I didn't, and I don't say that, like, that thought experiment as like anti-J.K. Rowling. Yeah. I don't put that on J.K. Rowling, but I'm just like, these things, I realize that stories matter.
Yeah.
And I think something writers tell ourselves a lot, or entertainment, they're like, we're not doing brain surgery, but it's like, you are, because if you do something that affects the way a person sees themselves and the way a world sees that type of person and affects it for the better, and that's something they carry with them in the rest of their life, and then suddenly it's like, let me not shoot this person for looking that way. Which seems very simple, but again, that's literally what happens. It's like, I have an image of you in my head, and so this is what happens. It's like, change that image, and that's what this stuff is. So, it's the potential. I'm so excited about the potential.
Have we secured Michael B. for Zane? That's my biggest question.
It's funny, part of me, I am tempted every day to be like, fan cast, but I was like, let me not invite that.
Don't do that.
Because, like,
don't bring that drama into
literally,
because I know in my head, I'm like, okay, so Michael B.'s going
to
be
the best thing. Yeah. Or, like, as soon as the we were finally able to share the director news, my brother sent, like, a screenshot to the family group chat. Yeah. It was like, hello, Toby, ... I currently live in Canada, and I was wondering if you could tell me where I could send my audition tape.
This is what we were saying.
This is what we were saying. We're like, so who will we get cast at?
Why have we not been contacted
yet? I said
yet?
I will take market person number 3 at any time.
Just an extra walking by. Like,
just like looking into the camera and ruining every show.
Okay.
So
what is there?
We have been like following you on Instagram, you know, gently stalking.
Yes.
And so every day K-pop.
And every time when like when you'd be like, I don't know, singing, Alex will message me and say something like, why isn't she writing?
Like, I'm like, where is the book, sis? Like,
the book,
we
sis?
Need to finish the
I was like, this is, you're correct. What's going on?
I love it. Yeah.
But children.
Yes.
Of virtue and vengeance. Yes. Vengeance and virtue. All right. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it.
Okay.
How was it? How was the process of writing that?
Well, I'm still writing.
Yeah, still writing.
Yeah. Okay. That's what, it's always funny to me, like, when I can see someone asking, they're like, oh, can I have it? And I was like, what? It's not done. And I was like, this is why I update you so much. So you know
where you're at, yeah.
Because it's like, on one hand, I get it. On the other hand, I was like, how many years did George R. Martin get?
Before. Has he finished?
No, I don't think he's finished.
No, he hasn't.
But it's like, and part of it is the YA expectation is a book a year.
Yeah.
But what I found, again, and it's amazing, but I found for people who are like really, I don't want to even say that, but for books with like so much heart and soul, a lot of times that are over like 500 pages and all this stuff, very complex worlds, like that's not the... Like, I think Harry Potter was a book a year until book 4.
Yeah.
And the book, and the first 3 Harry Potter books are closer to middle, you know? Yeah. So they're smaller stories. It's like once it got complex. So I think that's the, even though it's a book a year is the standard, it's like when a story gets complex enough, it needs time or it's going to fall apart.
And the thing about Harry Potter is like, because people had enough to kind of go back on and kind of review and go back over. And then it was like, all right, so we're ready for 4.
Yes, exactly. Whereas I find a lot of YA fantasies now are starting at book 4.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like we don't get that, those 3, which the those smaller stories that you could churn out faster. It's like we're starting at book 4, so now we need to go to book 5 and book 6 or book 7. Yeah. And that's the crazy part. So the whole, from a story writing perspective, it's been relatively smooth. I would say from a real life perspective, that's been the battle, because it's, one, there's the expectation of less time. Everyone wants it to take less time than it needs. There's also not as much, like, I didn't go back and count because I knew it would stress me out. Mm-hmm. But the amount of last year that was spent, like, I was in the UK for, like, a month.
Yeah.
Last, you know, and those are months, and I was, like, sick the entire time, and I was, like, still trying to write. So it's, like, it was going... Knowing that there were months last year where I was out of commission, and then you get back, and you're, like, I gotta write, but you're... very empty from you know, being not an introvert for a long time. So that I would say was the battle. From a story perspective, I'm like, okay, let's go. And like, even having this space And it was like still cramped space because it's like people were like, oh, okay, the thing. Well, for me, I was like, I'm still out of time. I was like, yeah. I felt like I'm behind on this book 3 months before I started this book because that's just the thing. It's like you want to go over everything again and again. So from a story perspective, I'm really excited. From a life perspective, it'll be nice to wrap it up. And then go to like a cryogenic chamber for at least a month and just be like frozen, hold the calls. No question. I was like, literally freeze me because if you don't freeze me, I will keep. My brother sent me this article about this is early Kanye West. So this was like a couple years ago, well before what is today. Kanye. So this is before I think he released his third album.
Yeah.
And it was just talking about his work ethic. And he was like chasing basically his chasing perfection. And he's like, as humans, we can't create anything perfect. But when you're an artist who chases perfection, you drive yourself crazy over it. And he was talking about his method. And I was like, oh, this is both comforting and sad. Because that's like my brother is a musician and we're the same way. And it's like, it has to be perfect, but it can never be perfect. And then you have all these outside forces that like, they're not chasing perfection. They're like, how fast can we get this? And you're just like, this is my legacy. Yeah. So it's like, it's, I would say that's what book two is for me. Yeah. What it's going to be for the reader, I think, is a really satisfying adventure because I'm very anti-bridge book.
Okay.
So it's just like,
keep it going.
Yeah. I was like, no, we got a whole, it's like, and I, my plans for book three, which you will not see for a while, but I don't care. I'm very excited about book three, but it was cool to get really excited about book two. And like, and so for now, for me, it's like I have the vision. There's a lot there. And so now it's just about executing that vision as well as I can.
Yeah.
So we read the blurb and I just saw Civil War and I was like, whoa. I was like, everybody gone.
I'll
be reading the last two chapters of Blood and Bone before.
The last chapter of Blood and Bone, I remember finished reading it and being like, what is going on? Like, so, why does everyone have magic? Yeah. Why does everyone have white hair?
Someone
talk to me.
Yeah,
I need help.
I was up at like 4 a.m. because I couldn't sleep. Because I was like, listen, I need to finish this book, okay? And I was like, I cannot sleep without finishing this. So I was up at 4 a.m. I sat there at like 5:30, like, it's done. Like, what's going on? What's like, there's no more pages. What's
someone told me they threw it across the room.
I almost did that, but I like
because
the cover.
Then they like someone said they shook it to see if more pages.
What is going on here?
And I was like, that's the one thing. It's the most beautiful thing. So selfishly, I wish I could see those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the like I think with you can't. Well, it's in the nature of art. It's a little bit weirder now with social media. Mm. But like with a book, it's like you can't see someone experiencing the book. Yeah. So I think that's the someone who already has a hard time processing.
Yeah.
When people are like, oh my God, it's like, oh, if I could see that, I'd be like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
But there's still a little bit when someone's like, oh my gosh, I loved it. I was like, okay, good. You're like, you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. And that's sort of my default. Like, okay, I'm glad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love the image of distraught.
Shaking the book.
Oh my gosh. So many things happened with me with that book. Missed my stop.
I think I always remember texting you.
On the train, on the tube. You're lost my umbrella. Lost him.
Like, it's shocking.
What I hate is when people tell me they listen to the audiobook in the car, they're like, I almost got in a crash. And I was like, don't do that.
That's very...
like, and multiple people have told me that. And I was like, wild. I don't think this is a driving book.
No.
That's very wild.
Because I was like, I don't want to read like... oh, you got into chapter 37 of Children of Blood and Bone when the car veered off the rail. Like, that's what I worry about. Like, when the fifth person told me, I was like guys,
who's next on the line? Next on the line. All right.
Oh, man. Well, so, thank you so much for, you know. Oh, sorry. I forgot to say my news.
Oh, yes.
I thought we could get away with it. It wasn't for you meddling kids.
If it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Go for it.
Guys, I am officially... I can't ask more information. That's the only information I'm gonna give. But basically, guys, last year when oh God, where was it? Was it Leicester?
Nottingham.
Nottingham, that's it. I interviewed Tommy in Nottingham. And she was like, oh my God, like your name is so nice. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. And I was like, yeah, I did the test. I'm a burner. And
for some
like,
reason that oh, went really? Valley girl. Why?
Why? I don't know. I don't
this
know.
Is what we sound like.
90210.
All right, go for and it. Then I just was like, oh my God, yeah, my name is Merciful. Yeah, and then she was like, and then she took out her phone and then she wrote my name down. And I always talk about this moment, yeah. Right? Because I felt like, you know, sometimes authors, they try to gas you up just because it's like, oh yeah, you're a reader. Let me do a thing, yeah. You know? But this girl, woman, this reaper.
This supreme being.
This supreme being. You know, outside of Beyonce.
Yeah. I'm going to have that as my alarm clock.
She put my name in this book, guys.
Oh.
Me, Raifa. And I'm a general. And it makes sense. Yeah. It makes every sense. And you don't understand, guys. I literally was nearly going to cry, but then I held it all together.
Yeah,
and I might cry when she and just jump up and down.
If you see her hijabi on the tube crying, it's there. Please, just console her.
Honestly, happy tears. What do you mean?
Just happy tears. Just give her a tissue.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel so honoured.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
I'm going to find a way to go to, like, the premiere of this film.
Oh, we'll be there.
You'll be like, excuse me.
Oh, my God.
I'm the general.
Just come as the general.
Stop. Wait, guys. Book two, when it gets made into a film, they better not cut out my character.
Is change.org a thing here?
Pardon?
Change.org.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's like a public petition. To get the petition. And I was like, you could start your petition right
start petition
now.
Start petition
get
now.
This is going to be the most.
Oh, my God. I'm going to practice my speech. I'm going to tell my mum.
What to do?
Because
what?
It's only right that I... Actor. Only right.
Okay.
Listen, you have changed my life.
You know
life.
What? It's actually so true. Like, all of what you're saying is true and fair and
I'm
balanced.
An
like, so I can't even counteract anything.
What do you mean?
I'm like,
this is who I am.
Yeah.
I'm shaking.
So, thank you, Tommy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. It's always amazing speaking to you.
Honestly.
So, you need to come back on when we have. When children are budding,
yes.
Children of Virgin Vengeance.
Oh yeah, that's definitely gonna happen.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
We usually have a mostly flicks part of the show. So
yeah. Oh sweet,
films,
yeah.
So it'd be great if you could come on and we could
oh,
do all
be
of that
a
stuff.
Good journey.
What do you mean? I love you.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. But yeah, where can people? Oh, is it, where can people find you? Did they just Google you now?
What I mean, now it's just
like, like what is it now? How does it happen? Like,
you can, you know, stalk her
gently. Was yeah, gentle with no malintent.
Yeah, because that's illegal, guys.
That is illegal. I don't know. Did you see the You?
Oh
show?
My God.
Oh, my, like that ruined
that
me.
That
wasn't
like gentle. Three days.
She had no curtains. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
okay. Well, there's.
I don't.
Yeah.
Have any sympathy?
That feels like a different podcast. Like, but yeah, no. There were some like just basic things where I was like, you could have changed this.
Yeah.
Like I feel like she should have been on like the fourth floor or something, right? Which yeah. would have been a better character moment for
brick.
His creepiness to like get up
yeah.
there.
You threw a brick through her.
Just a little bit,
this.
But that's a whole side note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thank
yeah.
you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Okay,
thank you for having me.
No worries. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Where can they find us, Alex?
They can find us at Mostly Lit on Twitter. Mostly Lit Pod on Instagram. I'm Alex Reads everywhere. Ray's Raifa for feet
everywhere. Now
General Raifa. General Raifa.
Guys,
sorry, I will never calm down.
I know she will never calm down. She will live this. Thank you. You will go away and leave me with her. She's going to enter the podcast. I'm General Raifa.
Next time I see you, you have that. You're like, nice to see you. General Raifa, Mostly Lit Podcast here.
Okay, wow.
All right, guys. Make sure you promote us on iTunes, Acast, Spotify, like wherever you listen to podcasts. Throw out all the stuff. Rate, review. And subscribe.
Make sure you
because the more you rate, review, and subscribe, the more that we can do what we need to do
yeah.
for this show. And then please tell us what you're reading, watching, and what we should be reading and watching by messaging us on Twitter, on Instagram, emailing us at mostlylit@gmail.com. And
wow, this is long.
Honoring. I know, I really love it. There's so much that we have to. Okay, and yeah. And that's it, guys. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.